My baby was supposed to do it today. I don't know where she at. Oh! Hey, tell her turn around. Come on, y'all. We got to do this one more time. Everybody stand up. We got to do this for my... Amen. That was good. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this day. Thank you for the many blessings you bestowed upon us. Thank you for the mothers that you blessed us with to help birth your gift into the world. Every mother is precious because you chose them to usher in your gift, your plans, your desires, your kingdoms through the womb of the woman. So, Lord, thank you for her. Let us always honor her. So, Lord, we ask you to touch our hearts so we can be receptive of our mothers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, son, I'll tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor, bare. But all the time, I's been a-landing. I's been reaching, landing, turning corners, and sometime going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you sit down on the steps because you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for eyes are still going, honey. Eyes are still climbing, and life of me ain't been no crystal stair. That's Langston Hughes' Mother of the Sun poem. I know the challenge for mothers, and it is very, very challenging. Sometimes when you give so much and you feel like you're so underappreciated, but I want you to know that God appreciates you and God loves you so much. Despite the second-class citizenship and people feel like you're not that important and you're not that brilliant, God told us that he gave us the woman as a helpmeet. And you never give anyone anything that's not strong enough to carry them or strong enough to help them do what you want done. And the woman has been uniquely that. The beauty and the gift of her is she's like an incubator. Whatever you give her, she gives back to you 10 times. So if you really want love, then you need to love her. Dr. Tony Evans said, I can tell what kind of relationship a man have with God by the way his wife treats him. Because if he doesn't do right by God, she won't do right by him. Right? But if he's living according to God's standard, he's going to love her unconditionally. And he's going to love her like God told her to love him. So mothers, I want you to know that you are magnificent and I appreciate you so much. I was telling the women this morning that I really, really, really appreciate the women in this ministry. You guys have been such a great asset to me. And just encourage the words of encouragement and the way you guys lift me up and trust me to lead, and that means so much to me. So I want to say happy Mother's Day. I appreciate you all so much. And Ardina, you the bomb.com. That my girlfriend. That my girlfriend. She all right. That my girl. So I'm going to cut across. Listen. Aiden will not walk out on me today, so I'm finna roll this thing. So we're gonna do it right today, right? So here we go. So experiencing God's love, everybody say experiencing God's love. God love for our whole being. Now this is important. So when we walk away from here today, I want your life to be transformed. And so it's gonna be very interesting the way I kind of break this down to you guys today. But it's important for you to understand Dale was saying something, and he really, really wanted you guys to realize who you are and believe who you are and understand who you are and have confidence in you. And don't let other people tear you down, right? You can't ever let somebody else tear you down and make you less than what God made you. So always remember, if someone has to tear you down, it's something wrong with them. It's nothing wrong with you, right? Always remember, whenever someone wants to belittle you or put you down and find all your faults, you have to really look at them, all right? Because something's going on in them, and we have to look at our brokenness. Often when I'm upset with Ardina, I have to look at myself, and I say, Ardina, it ain't got nothing to do with you. It really has something to do with me. I got to figure out what is going on with me, that I look at her differently, because she don't get to control what I do. I get to control that. So if I'm angry, it's got to be because of me. It can't be because of what you're doing, right? I know we it's a different what everybody been thinking, but we're going to talk about that today, right? But I want to talk to you guys about something and about Jesus Christ, and it's important. But I want you to read this. I want to say something. In Matthew 13 and 46, and I want you to take a picture of this so you remember it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, right? Who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, and here's the thing that's so powerful. He was looking in search of a pearl that was so valuable, and then when he found this pearl, everything else didn't mean nothing to him no more. Right? He took everything else and threw it away because he found the very thing that was going to make him rich. The very thing that was going to take him to the next level. Right? And that thing and that pearl to us is Jesus Christ. Right? And those who find him, now most people say, they don't know him yet. So they're trying to look for him. But if you find him, he's going to change your life forever. Your life will never, ever, ever be the same. And that's what Dale was trying to tell you guys today. So this great pearl, I want you to pay attention to it. It's important because if you grab it and you find it, you're going to turn everything else loose and you're going to grab this pearl and you're going to run with it. And I'm here to tell you, I think the great pearl is your imagination. I think it's your mind. I think it's God residing in your mind. I think it's Jesus Christ residing inside of us and we're not knowing it. And because we don't know it, we keep searching for something, trying to find something when the answer is really within. Right? And that great pearl. And I got to prove that to you, because if I don't prove it to you, it ain't going to make sense to you. Right? But in Corinthians, Paul was writing, and here's what Paul said. I want you to examine yourselves. Right? Don't look at anybody else. Do a self-examination. He said, I want you to examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Examine yourself and say, am I in the faith? Am I really a part of this thing called the faith, the Christian faith? Am I really a follower of Jesus? Is Jesus really the Lord of my life? Does he really reside in me, right? Is this pearl that's so great a part of mine, right? Do I have this thing that transformed and changed my life? Then he says this, test yourselves, right? Or do you not realize, now this is important, and that's why I highlighted in yellow. Do you not realize this about yourselves, right? That Jesus Christ is in you. Right? Now, I know you're looking for him out there. I know you're looking for him 2,000 years ago, but I don't think Jesus Christ of 2,000 years ago is going to do much for you today. Right? Except you recognize that Jesus 2,000 years ago transcends time and now he resides inside of you. And that's why Jesus was telling us, I'm going to leave you, but I promise you I won't leave you powerless. He said, and the works that I do, you'll be able to do even greater works. Now, when you read John, John says, in the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, right? And the Word was God, right? Right now, there was nothing created without him, right? So the Word of God, which was really the mind of God, was in the beginning, right? And everything in this world is birthed through the mind of a man, right? And so when God wanted to change the world, he birthed it, he thought about it, and then he manifested it in the physical. Now, it's important for us to understand that, because if we miss this imagination in our mind and don't understand it, and we miss that great pearl, we're going to keep on searching and never being fulfilled. We keep on searching. We've been going to church for years, and we've been in the same stagnated place, right? And we're not moving. But once you know who you are and whose you are and who's operating in you, then no devil in hell can stop you. And it does not matter what you say about me, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Well, who is the world? The world is those who will not recognize Christ and who he is in our life. And they're going to say, they don't reside. He's not inside of you. And they keep on living the way they're living. Now, I got to prove it. If I don't prove it, it don't make sense, right? So then he says, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So if you don't meet the test, then you really don't understand it because you have not walked with Christ like you should have. But I think the beauty about God, God let every one of us know that he resides in us. We may ignore him, but he keeps screaming loud and clear, and sometimes in a nice soft whisper, and he tells you this, don't do it. You know, don't you get smart with the teacher, right? Don't do it. Don't try to show off in front of your friends, right? And then you do it anyway. So God will remind you, because the Holy Spirit is all about righteousness. Amen? So now, let's get into this so I can get you out of here, right? Now, here's the text that I think is really good. It's going to change your life, right? In Luke chapter 18, Jesus is about to go to Calvary, right? On his way to Calvary, he's on his way to Jerusalem. He know that when he get to Jerusalem, they're going to end it all. He know it's going to be over, right? He know that, remember now, he's a human being. He knows when he get to Calvary that it's going to be done. But the beauty of it is he know that they're going to kill the body, but the spirit is going to keep living. But he know the power of God resides in him, and he know he's going to be resurrected even before they kill him, right? So he's on his way to Jericho, and here's the thing. Now, I want you to see yourself in this story. On his way, he says, as he was approaching, and I did it in the Amplified version so it would make a little more sense to you, Glenn, right? It says, as he was approaching Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, right? It says this, it happened that a blind man was sitting beside the road begging. Now, here's the question. Are you the blind man begging? Right? You have to ask yourself a question. Does the blind man begging represent me? So why did he tell us this story? What's so unique about this story, right? Then he goes on to say this. He says, when he heard a crowd going by, he began to ask what this was all about. What is the noise all about, right? What's going on, right? Now, keep in mind, he's on the side of the road, and he's blind, and he's begging. Now, if you look at some of the other gospels, they say there was two of them, and one of the gospels say he was coming out of Jerusalem. But that's how you know the stories was really written by the apostles, right? He says, now, we going, and this man is begging, JB, and the question is it me? Am I the one standing on the side of the road begging? Right? Then he says this in the next verse. They told him, now these are the people that's with Jesus leading the king into Jerusalem. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So he starts shouting. Now watch this here. He starts shouting, saying, please listen, Jesus, son of David, recognizing his kingship and his humanity, not his divinity. Everybody says humanity. He says, listen, son of David, Messiah, have mercy on me. What you mean have mercy? I know I deserve what I'm getting. I know I deserve to be blind, right? Because I've done some things I had no business doing. And I lost my way, and I can't see, all right? So then he says this. So those who were leading the way were sternly yelling, telling him to keep what? Quiet. You know how to save sanctified folks is, Derek. They said, shut up. Jesus is coming. Y'all be quiet, right? He says, but he screamed even the louder, right? So he screamed more and more and more. And he says, son of David, have mercy on me. I know I deserve it. I know I deserve to be in the situation I'm in because I put myself there. I know my shortcoming. I know my flaws, right? I know I can't see, right? I can't see the forest for the trees. I'm in the financial situation I'm in because, not because of what somebody else did. I can't blame somebody else for my shortcoming. This was on me. So please have mercy on me. I know I got pregnant out of wedlock. That's on me. He didn't trick me to doing it. I can't blame nobody else. So I need you to have mercy on me because I deserve everything that's happening to me. Right? We always want to blame somebody else, but he said, blame yourself. Right? So the blind man represents you saying, listen, this one's on me. I'm all by myself. I'm in the room. And there's nobody around. It's me and God. And I said, now listen, God, have mercy on me because you know what I did. So he's telling the son of David, you know, because God is really residing in David. So Jesus, the Christ, is in Jesus. The Christ is the mind of God working in Jesus with the power. Now, I want you to get this, because if you miss it, you're going to miss the whole thing, right? Then, verse 40. So after he's crying and all the saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled people, right, they telling you, you deserve it. He shouldn't have did what he did. He deserved it. He should have got it. So quit shouting. Go on. Be quiet. Hush. But when you desperate and you don't have nowhere else to go and you can't find how you gonna make ends meet because I screwed it up, right? And I won't own that I screwed it up. I keep lying and blaming somebody else because I won't own it. You have to own your mistake, right? He said, then Jesus stopped because he heard him. Because whenever your heart is pure and you sincere, it does not matter what anybody else is saying, God knows your heart. Right? And so the blind man is begging, and he's blind, and he can't see, and Jesus recognized him, but all the people who were supposed to be saved in front of Jesus, they don't see it. Because a lot of times we're blind because we want to judge people based on how we are. When every one of us, if he pulled a blanket off you, every one of you all need him. And you need him working in you. And here's the thing. And you also blind to Jesus. You don't even realize that he's in you. So you keep moving as though he's not in you. And you keep calling out, Lord, help me. And he said, no, you got to help you. But God, you know, you need to send a blessing. He said, I am the blessing. He said, you got to change your stinking thinking. He said, this is an inside job. Working from the inside. Nobody else, because if they help you on the outside, you're going to get right back in the mess you're in. Until you're changed from the inside out, you're never going to change. Right? But Jesus, I came here to reveal to you who I am, so when you embrace me, you embrace a change. Right? And he said, I'm going to give you a sight. Now watch what happened in verse 40. Then Jesus stopped everything he was doing, right? And he ordered the blind man to be led to him. He said, I want him to come. I know you think he's no good. I know you think she's a bum. I know you think he's a bum and he's no good. And I know they messed up. I know they lied. I know they did some embezzlement. I know they did some stuff. They hurt your feelings. He said, but listen, they are important to me. Because everybody is a part of the family, right? And if you hurt your arm, it's going to affect your leg, right? So if you're hurting, I'm hurting. So he's concerned about the entire body of us. So I got to get everybody well in order for the body to be well. So when you think there's nobody or there's no hope, he says, got to be hope. Because if they don't get well, you won't get well. Because it's like putting a rotten apple into a whole bushel of good apples. It's going to ruin the entire bushel. Right? And one bad apple, listen, one person in this congregation can do something stupid and nobody will come to Kingdom Embassy ever again. Just one person. Everybody going to judge a church person on that one person. That's how powerful you are. Right? Now, so Jesus, it says, listen, I'm screaming, saying, listen, wake up. I'm here. I know you're blind, but I want to give you your sight. Now watch this here. This is good. You're going to get this one. Here it is. So Jesus stopped and ordered the man, the blind man, to be led to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him something. And here's what he asked him. What do you want me to do for you? What is it? Right? Now, so God is in there. He's residing inside of you. He said, tell me what you want me to do. No, I need so-and-so to loan me some money. No, what do you want me to do? No, I need so-and-so to get it right. No, what do you want me to do? No, I need Everything is about somebody. He said, I want to know what you want. Quit blaming out there. And then he said, until you answer right, you won't get healed. And you won't be delivered. And you won't be set free. He's because if you don't do it right, you're going to keep on. Soon as I help you out of this jam, you're going to get right back in the jam again. Right? And you're going, your sight is going to be gone tomorrow. All right? Now watch this here. This is good. All right? So he said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, now watch this. Let me regain my sight. Now hold on. This is good. He said, let me regain, Nessa. He said, let me regain my sight. What he's telling you is, one time you was on the right path and you went off. You know what's right, but you chose to get off course. So now you need to be reinstated, right? You need your sight regained. I need to be able to see again, right? At one point, I thought and I had it going, but somewhere along the way, I missed it. And he said, I need to gain my sight. Now, here's the thing that really touched me in verse 32. Jesus said to him, regain your sight. He said, I'm not doing it. You do it. You want me to do it, but it's in you. He said, you just go. He said, regain your sight. How are you going to regain your sight? You got to go inside. He says, an inside job. He said, everything that's going to happen in your life is going to happen from the inside out. That's going to be lasting. He said, if you want to get yourself together, you got to change you from the inside out. Quit lying to other people trying to fake it. Take your mask off and go inside. A lot of us are play actors, right? We got masks on, and so people don't really see us, right? Take your mask off, right, and go inside and be true to you. And then you'll watch the blessings flow. Like then you'll regain your sight. And you can't see until you clean yourself up from the inside out. He said, then you can regain your sight. He says, regain your sight. He said, your personal trust and confidence, faith in me has made you well. Now listen, here's what he said. Because once you go inside, listen, people, you got to think for a minute. Anything that happens in your life, man, got to happen from here. It's got to happen. It's got to happen from your mind. That's why God resides in it. You can do all the stuff you want. I don't care what you do. They can give you $1 million in the bank. If you don't change this, you'll be broke tomorrow. Right? Anything in your life, if you're real, you got to understand that Jesus is trying to tell us, I'm in you. He said, listen, it's got to come from the inside out. It's got to come from your mind. Everything that happened in your life that's magnificent in your life that really happens to you always happens here first. If I want to accept you, if I want to be in a relationship, I don't care how much you love me. Until I love you, we won't be in a relationship. I don't care how much money I get. You can keep giving me money, money, money. If I don't think I have money, I remain broke. I've heard people, man, making $100,000 a year. You know what they said? That ain't $100,000. It's like 20. If they make 150, it's like an 80. They never, ever, ever recognize what's going on. Because if you don't change the way you think, you won't change your sight. You're gonna keep on being blind to everything in life. And if you're in a relationship and your relationship is a crap, if you don't change the way you think and you keep wanting to blame them, I know she ain't no good, he ain't no good, keep on doing it. I promise you, God is my witness, your relationship will never, ever get right. Because what's going to happen is you're never going to see your flaws. I'm always going to think it's you instead of me. And so you become blind. But when you really turn into Jesus and he give you your sight back, watch this here. This is good. Verse 43, and I'm done. I promise you. I'm going to get you guys out of here quick and not fast, right? Immediately, watch this here. Immediately, he regained his sight. And then once he gained his sight, he started to glorify And he began to what? Follow Jesus. Now, when he started following Jesus, listen, anybody in here, if I'm wrong, I want y'all to stand up and tell me I'm wrong, and I give you $100. Anybody, I promise you, anybody, I give you $100 a day. When you decide to change and follow Jesus, you always change the way you think first. In your mind, you say, I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to quit doing this. I'm not going to drink no more. I'm not lying no more. I'm going to be honest from this point on. You change the way you think. And when you change the way you think, you change your entire path. But if you keep thinking opposite and negative, you're going to keep on going down and down. And you'll never, ever regain your sight. You're going to always be blind. Now, here's a blind man. You're going to sit on the side begging, blind, because you can't see. I can't see because I'm keep on blaming you. I need somebody else to do this. The only way I can get over, I need a man. I need somebody in my house to help me with this income. I promise you. If don't do it, but we got single women in this audience can stand up right now, and they didn't need a man to give them nothing. Now, they might want something. But they don't need them. And some of them want them to help, and they don't help anyway, so you have to do it anyway. And you survive. Now, this is important. You got to understand. So once you turn into Christ, everything resides here. All your brilliance, all your intellect. Then you start to see how smart you really are. Now I can see clearly, right? I used to see men like men, but I don't see them like that anymore. So now I see things from a spiritual perspective. And I realize I don't let what you do control the way I feel anymore. I used to get worked up when somebody do something. I want to argue with them. Then I realize that, hold it, why am I arguing with somebody who think the way they think? If I feel this way, I need to move this way. I'm not blind to that anymore, right? So he says, immediately he regained his sight, and I'm done, and began to follow Jesus, glorifying and praising and honoring God, and all the people, when they saw it, they stopped praising. Because you know what? When a person really turns in and start believing in themselves, everybody look at him, and they start praising God. Say, ooh, man, God is amazing. Didn't he do it? I can't believe he changed his life. What happened was he opened his eyes, and he said, I'm not doing that no more. I'm sick and tired of being. Until you get tired of being sick and tired, you'll never, ever be sick and tired. Because you're going to keep on doing what you're doing. You're going to keep on getting the same result. And I promise you, everybody in here, everybody that's sick, they always blaming somebody else for their shortcoming. They're not taking ownership. They sick and they broke and they hurt. And it's always, the reason why I'm broke, because of what he did. The reason I'm hurt, because he left me. And Jesus said, listen, when you came in this world, you came in by yourself. He said, I brought you in by yourself for a reason that you can be independent of them. He said, but you got to regain your sight. He said, so when you're sitting on the side of the road begging about how I'm going to make it, what's going to go on? Quit blaming and blaming somebody else for what you can do for yourself. If God resides in you, and he said, great is he that's in you than he that's in the world, where is he? Where is he, man? Where is he? He's here. I was talking to a young lady, and we was talking about a guy doing some stuff, and he said, and she worked with people, and she's talking about, yeah, we got to work with the image change and all that. If you're going to change somebody, you got to change the way they what? He said, listen, you got to start acting different. You got to see things different. Because if you don't, people can see through you. So the question is, are you going to remain blind on the side of the road? Are you going to recognize that Jesus really lives in you, and now you finally can change your life and start living the way you're supposed to live? And then guess what? I'm going to know you doing. I'm going to know. You don't have to tell me, Derek. You don't even have to tell me. Because I can watch the way you treat everybody else. Because the way you treat people is to tell me, it's going to tell me, have you been born again? Or have you gotten your sight back? Because if I keep on talking crazy to you, then I'm still blind. Then Jesus ain't living in me. If I'm still cussing and acting a fool, he's not, I'm still blind. and I haven't regained my sight yet. If I'm still begging, if I'm still the beggar and not the lender, then I'm still blind. Because he said, I made you the lender, not the borrower. And if I keep on borrowing, then I'm still blind. Because he gave you the mind to show you how to create money. He gave you a mind. You can make money in your mind. Listen, I made so much money. My daughter's here. She'll tell you the truth. Nessa here, she'll tell you the truth. I picked a camera up. Never picked it up in my life and sent my daughter almost $3,000 a month for 5 years. On a camera, and I didn't know how to take a picture. Not only did God show me how to take a picture, he told somebody to come and buy them. I'm telling you what he'll do. When your eyes are open and you start turning inside and you realize who you are. Everybody stands to your feet. I got y'all today. Y'all thought y'all, I ain't going to be 1 o'clock today. Everybody stands to your feet. Give the Lord a hand clap. Give the Lord a hand clap. As Jesus come and he's trying to reveal himself in you, he's trying to show you. That's why Jesus said, the works I do. He's trying to show you through his word. Just read it, right? That if you abide in me and I abide in you, you can ask the Father anything you want and he'll open it up for you. Man, that's a good, pretty good terms, isn't it? Anything? Anything? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for opening our eyes. Lord, as we were blind and moving, not realizing that you live inside of us, and you gave us this great imagination, this great mind, Lord, and that's why you told us we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to renew our minds and recognize who you are. Just like you reside in Jesus, you want to reside in us. And thank you for the message that Jesus gave us when he told us we'll be able to do even the works he do and even greater. But we need to know that you reside in us. So thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Thank you for giving us our sight back. We love you so much. And as we leave this place, we never, ever can leave your presence. Even if we try to leave, you promise that you always never leave us. So even when we're blind and we try to leave you, you promise never to leave us. So you're always there in our deepest, darkest secret spots. When we think nobody else is there, you're there. Thank you for never, ever, ever leaving us and always being present in our weakest moments. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to offer you guys an opportunity for those who do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to offer you the opportunity. So I want to pray for you, for those, the prayer team. And so church is dismissed. But the altar is open for those who like prayer. Those who like prayer, come forward. Give us some soft music, Ross.